Begin the current daven, Sech the Shavuos, Daf Lamed Ches. Begin on the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our previous Mishnah, opening up the halachas of Shavuos HaPikadon. So the Mishnah qualified Shavuos HaPikadon Ketzad. What is the case of this halacha that's unique to deposit or to loan or things like that, where someone's claiming from someone money and the person is denying upon an oath that then he's liable for a korban Shavuah? Is says the Mishnah Ketzad, Tenli Pekodin Sheesh LeBiyotcha. He says, give me the deposit that I have by you, Chulu, etc. Because the Mishnah delineates different specifications and cases where essentially the halacha is if he denies and he swears upon an oath and then he admits, then he's Chayiv. Then the Mishnah went Chulu, etc., where it spoke about when five different people are claiming from him the deposit or the wheat bread or the different cases that it talks about. Then the Mishnah qualifies, there are going to be cases when he's going to be chayiv a korban shavuah for each one individually, and there are times that he's going to be chayiv only one. On that, the Gemara quotes a brisa that elaborates on that machlekes we have in our Mishnah, in regards to this idea about when's it considered a general statement that he's saying, which is that it's one rejection of what they're saying, therefore he's going to be chayiv only one korban shavuah. When do we say that each one is considered a separate denial to be liable on each individual for a separate korban shavuah? Tarnabon Linda brisa. Kalal, the first opinion of this brisa says, if he says in the general statement that when they're saying, each guy says, yeah, you owe me, and says, you owe me, and when he denies, he says, I don't owe you guys anything, which we'll see in the Gemara exactly what is the explanation of this opinion. But if Kalal, if he denies it in the general term, in the Chayv al-Achas, he'll be only liable for one korban shvuah of the fourth shvuah sabikad. But part, if he specifies Chayav HaKol Achas V'Achas Divrei Meir, then he's going to be liable for each one individually. Again, as Gemara will explain, what's this case of Kol, what's this case of Parat. That's Rav Meir. Behudaim, he says, if he says, Shvu, I swear, I take an oath, Loi Lecha, not to you, V'Loi Lecha, not to you, meaning each one of you are claiming that I owe you. He says, no, not you, V'Loi Lecha, not you, V'Loi Lecha, not to you. Chayav HaKol Achas V'Achas, then since he specified each one individually, he's going to be liable for each one, an individual korban shvuah for his false oath. Rabbi Yehizam, he says, Loi lecha v'loi lecha v'loi lecha shvuah, as we explained in the Mishnah, his opinion. If he ends off with the statement at the end by saying the word oath, then it's going back on each one of Loi lecha, Chayav HaKol Achas V'Achas, only then will he be liable for each one a separate korban shvuah. And Rabbi Shimon Eimer, as he says in the Mishnah too, Achayim Eshvul Kol Achas V'Achas. He says, no, the only way he'll be liable is separate carbon for each one's denial is by each one when he says, Loi Lecha, he says, Shvu Loi Lecha, Shvu Loi Lecha, but each one mentions the word oath, only then will it be Chayiv, a separate carbon for each one. If not, it's going to be considered one general denial to be Chayiv only one carbon Shvu. Now, regarding the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon, that we explained in the Mishnah. However, regarding these two opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, that the Gemara has a machlekes amiram, how to qualify their machlekes. Amar Rabbi Huda Mishmul, because actually our Mishnah had Rabbi Eliezer and had Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't mention Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Huda by name. It has a opinion of the Tanna Kamma, which actually is going to be a discussion in the Gemara. Who are we assuming that is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma in our Mishnah? But the machlekes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, which are not mentioned in the Mishnah, explicitly, that there is a machlekes amiram, how to qualify their machlekes. Amar Rabbi Huda Mishmul. So we have first opinion of Shmul. He says as follows. He says, Klolisha Remeir, the general denial of Remeir, which we consider as a liability of one korban shvuah, is Pratel Sherab Yehuda, is the case which Yehuda holds no, that's specific, which is considered individual denials. Meaning, what Yehuda heard that Remeir said is a klal, is a general denial, which is the case of Veloilacha Veloilacha, that Yehuda says no, that's a parat, that's individual denials for each one. Now, by default, says Shmuel, so we understand, then the other way is true too. Kalala Shar Yehuda must be that the case Rabbi Yehuda holds is a general denial, is Prata Shar Meir, is the inverse. Is Rabbi Meir's case that he holds, no, that's considered individual denials to be liable on each one. Meaning, the case that Rabbi Meir holds is a parat, is without a vav. Loi lecha, loi lecha, loi lecha. Because if not, then what would be the case that Rabbi Meir holds is a parat? If we're understanding that the case that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to disagree, that he heard Rabbi Meir holds is a klal, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no, that's parat, so what's the case of Rabbi Meir being a parat if he holds the klal is even when you say, b'loy lecha, b'loy lecha, b'loy lecha. So it must be, it's one without a vav. Now, that is the case that Rabbi Meir holds is a prat without a vav, that Rabbi Yehuda holds is a klal. Because if Rabbi Yehuda holds that even without a vav, when you say not you, without and not you, just loy lecha, according to Pirud, there's a prat too, and that he only holds that when you say a general statement, ein lochem, I don't have by all you, and he includes them all in one big statement, only then that's considered a kolal to be chayv only one. So then why does he pick specifically in this statement by saying v'loy lecha? Why say with a vav? If there's no difference between v'loy lecha and v'loy lecha, so why pick v'loy lecha? Obviously, says Shmuel, because actually each one is the inverse of the other one. Reb Meir's case of the klal is the case of v'loy lecha, that Reb Yehuda holds is the prat, as he says it. Reb Yehuda's case of the klal, which is loy lecha without the vav, is Reb Meir's case that he holds the prat to be chayav in each one individually. That's Shmuel's interpretation of the machlekes. Rabbi Yechonam, he disagrees. He says, no, hakol meidim b'v'loy lecha. Everyone agrees with the case that Rabbi Yehuda was talking about as the prat, which is with a vav, shehu prat, meaning the Rabbi Meir does not disagree with Rabbi Yehuda on the case of v'loy lecha. And what Rabbi Yehuda was telling him was, when he says, because after the opinion of Rabbi Meir, then came Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says that v'loy lecha, that's where it's going to be considered a parat. But loy lecha, without a vav, that's considered a kalal. Because there, it's not going on the oath. It's considered one big general statement. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to explain, from where was Rabbi Yochanan Medayik, that Reb Meir holds that both cases of loy lecha and loy lecha are considered a parat, that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to disagree, as the Gemara explains, loy nechleku ele b'loy lecha. The machlekes was only regarding without a vav. Shermeya, I'm a part. Shermeya holds both cases are prat. V'loy lecha and loy lecha. Each one is delineating specifically individual people that he's denying. So each one is a separate carbon shua. But Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a kalal. Rabbi Yehuda says no. When you say with a vav, so the vav is going back on the shvua to say that each one is a separate shvua. It's connecting it to the shvua. Without a vav, so each one is not going back as if there's a separate word shvua on each one. So we can't consider each one a separate shvua, so it's going to be considered one big denial to be chayv only one carbon shvua. Now, v'sez Rabbi Yochanan ve'izehu klal l'sh Rameya. What's the case that Rameya holds that is a klal that you only chayv one carbon shvua? If according to Rabbi Yochanan, with a vav or without a vav, when you say loy l'cha, it's going to be considered a parat, so what's a klal? Is shvua she'en l'chem b'yad, you say one big statement, I swear that you guys don't have anything by me, that's one denial, that's the case that you can be chayv according to Rameya, one carbon shvua. Says the Gemara, B'mai Kemifagi, on what principle, what made this Machlekes Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and their different interpretations the Machlekes Rabbi Meir and Behuda? Says the Gemara, Shmuel daik mi b'raisa. Shmuel was inferring from the b'raisa we just quoted. Rabbi Yochanan daik mi b'raisa, he was inferring from our mission on the previous staff. As the Gemara explains, Shmuel daik mi b'raisa, he was looking with precision in the words of the b'raisa because since Rabbi Yehuda in his explanation, he says that the case of when you say and not you prata have, that's a case of specific. The obvious would sound like, says Shmuel, that he's coming to disagree his opinion after a mayor. If he's saying that's the case of parat, is obviously because he heard the mayor says that's the case of kolal. Vamalei Rabbi Yehuda prata have, and Rabbi Yehuda was saying no, that's the case of parat, which is how Shmuel explained. Not like the Rabbi Yechanan says. Rabbi Yochanan says that no, Rameya holds that even that case is parat. Says Shmuel, no, it makes sense that if he's saying it's parat, it's because he heard Rameya holds that this is kalal. Now Rabbi Yochanan, he would tell you that no. Tavayil Rameya, both these cases, according to Rameya, with the vav, without a vav, pratav is a specific. It's considered a separate karban shvua. V'omle Rabbi Yehuda, what Rabbi Yehuda was telling was as follows. B'v'loy lecha meidina lach, in the case of and not you, that's where I agree with you, and that was the case he was saying. But b'loy lecha pligna lach, without the vav, that I disagree with you. That I hold is a klal, and you hold it's a prat. Now, but Shmuel, he would tell you that if you think that Rabbi Yehuda heard to a mayor, that he considered both these cases as a parat, then, says Shmuel, then he should not have then said the case of v'loy lecha, where there I agree and I'm like you, because ada oidi le'odoyi, instead of Rabbi Yehuda, so to speak, agreeing with Reb Meir, lifle galea flugi, he should have said the case where he disagrees with Reb Meir. Rather, it should have said, Rabbi Yehuda says, loy lecha is you're only going to be chayv one to say the case that he disagrees with Reb Meir. Why? You don't usually say the case you agree with the previous one, you say well, you disagree, because we know already what the previous one says that you're agreeing to. Therefore, says Shmuel, not like Rabbi Yechanan, rather, yes, it's a case where he disagrees, because actually that's the case that Rabbi Yehuda is saying is parat, is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir holds as a kalal. Now, that's the understanding of Shmuel, because he was coming from the Brisa. Rabbi Yochanan Daik Mimasnin. He was inferring from the Mishnah, and the Kamer made from the fact that Remeir says not Mishnah, which the Gemara is assuming right now that because Stamas Nitin Remeir. There's the Tanakhama not Mishnah, who's anonymous, but we assume that that's Remeir because any anonymous Mishnah, we assume it's coming from Remeir's teachings. Our Mishnah said, hence Remeir, Shvuah She'en Lechem B'yadi. If the defendant says, I swear that you don't have anything by me, Kalalahava, that's a general denial to all the five, and is only Mechayv one. Mechlal, the inference is, that by saying, not you, and not you, and not you, anything that's not just one big general statement to all five, whether you, even if you say, and not you, it's going to be considered as specific. Because, which is like Rabbi Yechon, where he said that both cases, loylecha or v'loylecha, it's not one big general statement, you're saying to each one something, that's a part. Because the Isaka Daidach, if you're entertained to say, that even when you say, and not you, since it wasn't, but rather it was, like Shmuel wants to say that that's according to Remeir Klal, then instead of Remeir telling us a case that he just says one big general statement to all of them, that that's considered Klal, he should have said a bigger Chiddush. That even if you're talking to each one individually, but if you say it with the Vav, that it's not going to be considered a separate parat, koshken shvuah she'en lechem b'yadi, and for sure we would know when you say one big general statement, that's going to be considered a kalal. Obviously, it's because no, Remeir holds that even loylecha or v'loylecha is considered a parat. But the Rosh Mulam, he would tell you that no, kala oimer v'loylecha, that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Whoever says, and not you, ka oimer shvuah she'en lechem b'yadi, it's like you're saying one big general statement. You're right. V'loylecha, according to Remeir, is a kalal. Why does he say shvuah she'en lechem b'yadi? Because that's what it's telling you. It's telling you that even when you say v'loylecha, it's going to be considered as one big general statement. It's all connected, one big denial, as if you said shvuah she'en lechem b'yadi klum. That's machlekes Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan in this machlekes Remeir and Rabbi Huda. Now the Gemara asks questions on the opinion of Shmuel from our Mishnah. It's not really in our Mishnah that when it wants to say the case that you can be chayv on each one individually, it says if he says loy lecha not you, v'loy lecha not you, v'loy lecha not you, and the girsa in our Mishnah is with a vav. Obviously, Remeir holds that with a vav is considered a parat to be chayv on each one individually, which contradicts Shmuel, who says that he only holds that loy lecha without a vav is a parat. With a vav is considered a kal. So the Gemara no tani amended the Mishnah that it's supposed to be read loy lecha without a vav. But the Gemara still asks, Toshma. Again, our Mishnah, when it describes a case that you may have in each one individually, says if the person says, Tenli Pekotin, give me the deposit that you have by me, that I have by you, Betzumas Yad, and the loan that I have by you, and Vegezla, what you had robbed from me, Vaveda, and the lost object, and he denies each one individually. So the Mishnah says, Yichai for each one individually. Yet the wording over here is with the Vav, and you see that the Vav makes him individual, makes it into a part. So the Gemara Tanei, again, you have to amend the Mishnah to Sumas Yad, Gezel, Aveda, without a Vav, and that's what can be considered a part. But the Gemara still has Tashma again from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says if the claimant says, the plaintiff says, Ten li chitin, give me wheat, v'sa'irin, and barley, v'kusin, and spelt, that you have by me, and he denies each one individually. He's chai for each one individually, and yet there it's with a vav. So the Gemara Tanei amend, sa'irin, kusin, you're right, you have to read it without a vav. And that the Gemara says, V'hai tan, the tan of a Mishnah, kol hochi, shabish, tanim, azal, so many mistakes and errors there were in the text of our Mishnah that you have to amend again and again and again without a vav. Rather, the Gemara gives a different approach to answer the question. Hamani, who's the Tana of a Mishnah? It's Rebbehi. It's not Remeir. It's Rebbe. Where, according to Rebbe, yeah, he doesn't differentiate, as the Gemara is going to explain, with a vav, without a vav. He's considered both of them a parat, but that doesn't reflect incorrectly on Shmuel, who is going in the opinion of Remeir. And Remeir does differentiate it as he explains the opinion from the Braisa that when there is a vav, he's going to consider that as a kalal in contrast to without a vav, that then it's a prat. Because as the Gemara says, as Rebbe says in Masechta Zvachim in the second parak, that loishna kizayis, there's no difference regarding a kohen that's doing the avodin beis hamikdash and he's slaughtering a carbon and he's having what's called a machsheves pigel, a improper thought regarding the carbon where he has in mind either where there's two different types, what's called chutz l'zmanei, chutz l'mkaymai. One is considered pigel, one's considered a different type of a psul, where although both of them make a psul, but actually one could contradict the other one and undo the pigel. But essentially, if what the Gemara is trying to point out over here, according to Rebbe, is it doesn't make a difference if when this kohen is verbalizing his inappropriate thought, he has a mind without a vav, meaning he has a mind to eat a kazayis of this carbon tomorrow, which is inappropriate, that's beyond its time that you're allowed to eat it, and without a vav, and he says, kazayis bachutz, an olive size of it, he's going to eat out of the area where you're allowed to eat it. it doesn't make a difference in that case where there was no vav. Or v'loshna kezayis u'kezayis. There's no difference if, let's say, he has a mind to eat a kezayis tomorrow and, he uses the word and, a kezayis out of the place where you're allowed to eat it. In both cases, prata have it's going to be a specific meaning. We consider those two thoughts as two individual thoughts, as a parat, not as one big thought. Now, the significance of that is that, so therefore we go based on the primary first thought, which is the one that makes it into pigul, which is chutz lezmani, a thought of eating it beyond the time that you're allowed to. Now, a second thought, since it's now a parat, it's each considered a separate thought, the second thought does not undo the pigul, which is according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says over there that the rule is that whenever you have the machshava of zman, of eating beyond its time, before the machshava of makam, eating it in beyond its place where you're allowed to, it's considered pigul, and therefore if someone eats it, it's going to be chayiv karas on that carbon. What? So therefore, we see from Rabbi that he doesn't differentiate between if you had these two thoughts with a vav, without a vav, either way it can be considered part as two different thoughts. That's what the Gemara is saying, that our Mishnah is like Rabbi and not like Remeir. And therefore it doesn't contradict Shmuel, again, like we said, because it's going like Rabbi, who, yeah, he holds anything but lechem. If you say lecha, lelecha, or vila lecha, either one is going to be considered separate, and therefore chayv in each one individually. But the Gemara continues asking on Shmuel. Toshama mididay. The Gemara says, okay, let's bring a Rav from our Mishnah, but from the opinion of Remeir himself. Our Mishnah quotes Remeir by name. It says, Remeir, I mean, he says, afilachita visa'ir v'kusemes. Even if he says, in the singular, which we're going to explain in a moment, what is the chiddush of Remeir, but he says that if he denies wheat, barley, and spelt, chayva kolachas v'achas, even though the girsa in our Mishnah is with the vav. So the Gemara says, Tani, there you could amend, it's going to be only one place, chitas ayru kusemes without a vav. So again, that doesn't contradict Shmuel. But the Gemara asks, once we introduce the opinion of Remeir, Maya fila, what's even? What's the chiddush in this case? So Amavacha Berei Daviki says, a fila chita, even though he says it in the singular, which sounds like chita is a term of one kernel, it's still bechlal chitin, still included in the category of a plural of wheat. Meaning, if he claims from him, you owe me chita, which generally is translated as a singular grain, it's like he's claiming from him chitin, wheat. Because actually, like the pasuk says in Shema's test, v'chitu v'kosemes le'naku, we find that much wheat is used in the vernacular of a singular terminology. And that's the chiddush of Meir. If the person denies wheat, he's going to be chayiv, even though the claimant, the plaintiff, was saying it in the singular term of one kernel of itself. So to v'sa'ir b'chal sa'irin, even though he says sa'ir, which is a barley corn, that's included as if he claimed him barley in general. And v'kosemes b'chal kusman, in the term of the singular spelt grain, is in the category of as if he claimed him all the spelt that he has by him. Now, the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, where if the plaintiff said, Tenli pekad, give me a deposit, mitzumas yad, and a loan, gezel, a robbery, vaveda, and a lost object, shesh, biyad, chavachulu, I have all these things by you. And he denies them all, so he's mechayiv for each one. So too, later on, the Mishnah says a similar case, Tenli chit and vesa'irin, where it could be, let's say, the same thing as a deposit, but it's different types. One is wheat, one is barley. Now, in that halacha of the Mishnah, there's actually two different halachas in both of these cases in the Mishnah that regarding the denial, where if he makes a general denial, so he says, chayiv only going to be chayiv one. If he makes a specific denial on each one, he's going to be chayiv al kol echad ve'echad on each one individually. Now, on these halachas of the Mishnah, which is not clear from the statement of Rabbi Yechon himself, which actually is going to be machlokes ha'mayrom and how to qualify that, on Rabbi Yechon, he says that if he doesn't have from all of these things that he's claiming from the defendant, only that it's going to be worth a pruta mikulam, it's only the sum total of all those things, from the deposit and the loan and the theft, from all those things, he actually only has a pruta's worth, mitzterefes, they're going to combine, because ultimately, from the sum total of them all, he's denying a pruta's worth, albeit from a combination of the wheat and the barley, or from the deposit and the theft, and so on, they're going to combine to make him liable for the false oath he took of this shvus hapikad. Now, says the Gemara, pligibar revach ravina, so machlegis amiram in the Mishnah, and in the statement of Rabbi Yechanan. As the Gemara explains, chad amar, one says, aprati mechayvi, you're only going to be liable on the specifics, akloli loy mechayvi, but you're not going to be liable on the general denial. Meaning, when the Mishnah spoke, as we explained, there's two cases it talks about. One is the case that it talks about when he says, I don't have this, a general denial of all the things that are being claimed from him. Where we said there's only chayiv one. Then there's another case when he denies each one individually. So the Mishnah says chayiv kol achas v'achas, you can be liable for each one individually. And that says the Gemara, this one amira, whether it be Ravacha or Ravina, says you can be liable for three carbon shvuas. One for wheat that he denies specifically, one for barley, and one for spelt. But he's not going to be chayiv for four, meaning to say that when he first starts off saying, well, shvuah she'en l'cho b'yodai, swear that you don't have by me, to say that those words itself are going to be considered its own independent oath. Because when he says a general statement that you don't have by me, and then he specifies and he says, not wheat, not spelt, not barley, that halacha is that the specifics are explaining what he first was mentioning when he says, I swear that you don't have by me anything. Meaning, but it's not considered its own oath of denial to be chayiv even on that general statement. Meaning when you're, and moreover, so this is qualifying the halacha of the Mishnah, and also when Rabbi Yechanan said that a pruta of all of them are going to combine, that was not going on the safe of the Mishnah of this halacha when he said that yechava kol achas v'achas. Because since each one is considered its own individual thing, they cannot combine over there. Rather, his halacha was said on the reisha. When the person says, shvur she'en l'cha b'yadi, I swear that you don't have by me one general statement, one general denial. And then the Mishnah said, he's only mechayiv one. That's where a pruta of all the things that he's denying will combine for that oath, because it's one oath. So therefore, there's two halachas being mentioned here in one of these of each amayra. One in qualifying the halacha of the Mishnah, and then qualifying the halacha of Rabbi Yechad, and what was he going on? So this opinion says that regarding the seif of the Mishnah, when yechayiv al kol achas v'achas is only on each specific, but not the general statement you open up with. And moreover, the teaching of Rabbi Yechanan was also not going on the Sefer, it was only going in the Reisha, because the Reisha has that you could combine the all. But in the Sefer, where each one is a separate oath, you can't combine the separate oath to make a liability of the Shavah Pruta from the sum total of them all. Now, V'charam, the other Amayra, however, holds that no, when the Mishnah says in the Sefer that yechayiv al kol achas v'achas, then you're actually going to chayiv not just three, but you're actually going to chayiv four. Because you're going to have one of a kloli name mechayiv. You're going to be liable also for the general denial and for the three specifics. Moreover, the teaching of Rabbi Yechum is going also on the Sefer, because this opinion holds that even in the Sefer, you're going to be chayiv on the shvua of the klal, and on that one, all the different things that you're denying will combine to be a shavah pruta, to be chayiv at least for that one shvua of the general statement. Now, however, in this last opinion, the Gemara asks, but Vatan Rebchir, Bechir torn in the Braisim, regarding a case of our Mishnah, when five people were claiming from him, and each one were claiming, you owe me a deposit of barley, wheat, and spelt. And of that, the defendant said, I swear that you don't have by me wheat, barley, and spelt, not to you, and not to you, and not to you. Says Rebchir, Harikan, Chomish Esri Chatois is going to be a liability of this defendant for 15 Karbonos Chatos. Now that has the Gemara, V'im Isin. Now if it would be the case like this last opinion, that you actually, for the case of the Sefer, when he's chayiv kol achas v'achas, he's chayiv not just for three Karbonos Chatos, he's chayiv for four, because not only do you count the specifics, but you count the general statement when he says, Shvur She'en L'cho B'yadi, that's considered its own general oath too, then Esrim Havin. Then it's not just 15, 3 times 5, it's 4 times 5, it's going to be 20. Says the Gemara, Hai Tana, you're right, but this Tana of Reb Chiya, the Prati Kachashav was only counting the specifics, the Klali Lo Kachashav. Although you're right, there is going to be 20, but he's only counting the 15 of the specifics. But still, the Gemara actually asks now on the other opinion. But Vatan Reb Chiya teaches in the Braisa elsewhere that he says, Harikat Esrim Chatois, there's going to be 20 Karbanos Chatos. Obviously, that there's four oaths, and it's only in that first braisa that it didn't count the klalus that we at the general oath, as we said, for the to answer the previous manda amar. So the first manda amar that says that you're not chayiv in the klal is difficult from this braisa. Says you actually are going to be chayiv on the general statement because there can be 20 to karbanos chatos. Says the Gemara, no, that really in the case we described before, you only be chayiv for three. Hahi, this second braisa, there's no klal that you're being chayiv for. The case over here that you can be chayiv for 20, although we've said the case of wheat is only wheat, barley, and spelt, there's only three, so we're going to get 20, it's going to be 15, if you're not chayiv on klal. Now, this is going in the other case of the Mishnah, where that's four specifics for each one, pekadin, loan, theft, and and a loss, that's 4 times 5, even without a klal, and that's why it's going to be 20. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara brings the following question. It says, the case we were describing from our Mishnah, 5 people were claiming from this custodian, from this person. They said to him, give us the deposit we have by you. So the loan that we gave to you, because of what you stole from us. Faveda and the lost object. That each one of us has by you. And he says to one of them, they swear that you don't have by me pekadon, a deposit, shumasyad, a loan, gezel, what was stolen, vaveda, and a lost object. He said that to one person, and then he moves on to the next person. He says, v'loilcha, not to you, v'loilcha, not to you, v'loilcha, not to you, v'loilcha, not to you. Ma, what's the halacha? What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Do we say, achad mechayv is only making himself liable on one, meaning, by each one of the later individuals, he's only going to mechayv one carbon shvuah. Because when he says to each one, and not to you, he's not going on all the specifics of pekadon and tumasyad and so on. It's just a general denial. So therefore, he's only mechayev for 8 karbanos chatos, 4 from the first one, and each one of the later ones is going to be another 4. Or, as we continue to the base, or, dilma akol chod v'chod v'chayev. No, maybe each one, he's chayev for each element. When he says, v'loy l'cha, not to you, it was on all the specifics. So there is going to be chayev 20 karbanos chatos. So the Gemara, tashema. Let's bring a raya from the previous, the Tanya Reb Chiya brought the Brisa Reb Chiya that says, Harikan Esm Chatois. It says there is a case, he'll be chayev for 20 karbanos chatos. Says the Gemara, Heichdami. Now, what's the case going to be talking about? Ida Parish, if he specified, meaning to each one of those 5 people, he says, and not to you, Pekadon to Mesiad Gezel Veda, and not to you, Pekadon to Mesiad Gezel Veda. So, on that, as the Gemara, Reb Chiya Minyan Oslash Minan, Reb Chiya has to teach us a Brisa to tell us how to count. If he's denying specifically each one of the 5 people, 4 things, we know it's going to be 20. Allah, the light parsh, rather, it must be Tumma, where he didn't specify. He just said, V'loy l'cha, v'shmamina pratav, and therefore from there you can see clearly that it's going as a specific, and each one is michayev for each one of those 4 things, for a sum total of 20 karbanos chatos. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. That our Mishnah then summed up the categories of knosses, of penalties. We did the Mishnah said if you deny a pure penalty, since if he would admit, he'd be exempt. So when he denies, even upon an oath, he's going to be exempt too. But there was a machlekes in the case of a nasto opesita esbiti b'chulu. Someone says to a man, you raped, you seduced my daughter, etc. So there's a machlekes in the Mishnah, if in that case he's going to be liable for a 4th shavuos ha-pekadon or not. Now, the opinion of the Rabbanan was essentially that, wait a second, it's not just a knas. He's denying also b'ishus b'gam, which is mamanas, and that he should be chayev for his false shavuos ha-pekadon, and therefore you can be chayev as a carbon for that. So on that the Gemara asked, Amar b'chiyah b'rabba amar b'yichin, this is my time with Rabbi Shimon. What is the reason of Rabbi Shimon that he holds that you're exempt? It's not just a knas. He's denying also the mamanas element of the b'ishus b'gam. So why is he exempt? Says the Gemara, Hayil v'ikr knasu teveh. Since primarily, the claim is on the penalty, which is a general penalty for any man, any woman that rapes a woman, that even though, yes, when he's denying the raping of this man's daughter, he's also denying to have to pay the embarrassment and the depreciation. But as the Gemara is going to explain, that he's not liable for, and therefore, since the primary thing he's denying is the penalty, so that's why he's exempt from a carbon shvuah. Now, Amar Rabbi says, Mashal Reb Shimon L'ma Devadim, he says, what could be a parable to explain and qualify this teaching of Reb Shimon that essentially really only denying the knas, and as we said, everyone really agrees on knas, that you're part of a carbon shvuah, is La'adim Shamal Chaver, could be compared to a person who tells his friend, Tenli Chitin V'Sa'arin V'Kusmin Sheyesh L'Biyotcha, give me back my wheat, barley, and spelt that you have of mine by you. And Amar Lai, and he says, Tim Shvuah She'en L'cha B'Yadi Chitin, I swear that I don't have by you wheat. Now, v'shtakech, the chitin hu delesa, and it turns out that you're right, that the guy does not have wheat by him. Hasa'irn v'kusman islay, but he does have his barley and his belt, where, of course, the patid be exempt, because the only thing he denied and that he swore to that effect was the wheat, and the wheat he actually doesn't have. D'chiyishtabeya achitin, because when he swore regarding the wheat, akushna v'shtabey, he swore truthfully. So that's what says Rav, is the same thing over here in the case where, essentially, the one thing he was really denying was the penalty, was the knas. Although his denial is on everything, but he was only denying essentially the claim of the knas. So therefore, although that, yeah, he really does owe the barley and the spelt. He owes the Beis and the Begam, but what was he denying? He was denying the Knas, he was denying what in this parable is the Chitin, and that he actually doesn't owe, because like we said, denying a Knas, one does not become Chayef for. However, Amalei Abaye, Abaye asked to Rav, he says, Me dummy, can you compare your Mashal to the Nimshal to the case of Reb Shimon? Hasam, in the case you describe as of the parable, the Chitin Kokofrele, the only thing he really is denied in your case you described was the wheat. He didn't deny the wheat in the spelt. So yeah, then he's going to be potter, because he actually did not owe in that case the wheat. But in this case of Reb Shimon, he is denying the whole thing. When he says, I did not rape your daughter, he's denying with that denial the Beishas and the Begam too, which is like in your case, like denying the wheat and the barley and the spelt. So therefore it says, Abaye, holy damya, you can't compare this, which is the conclusion of Abaye's question, the way you're describing Reb Shimon, it should actually be considered like a person who tells to his friend, give me the wheat and the barley and the spelt that I have by you. And he says, and he says, I swear I don't have anything of yours by me. And it turns out, you're right, that wheat he doesn't have. But he does have the barley and the spelt, the mechayiv that he's going to be chayiv. So therefore, in this case, Reb Shimon should also be the same thing, like the Rabbanan claimed to Reb Shimon, and he should be chayiv a carbon shavuah. Ella rather says the Gemara, ki asa rav and Rabbi Yechon, when he came, he says, ledivi Reb Shimon, according to Reb Shimon, that actually knas hu teveya, the father of the girl is only claiming the penalty, v'loi b'ichus begam. He's not claiming the embarrassment and the depreciation, and therefore, when he denies it upon an oath, really, the Shavuz Begun is only on the claim of the Knas, because he's only claiming the Knas. However, according to the words of the Chacham, he's primarily claiming the embarrassment and the Begam, and therefore it's on the momentous thing, and therefore they hold, you're going to be Chayv a Karban Shavu. So I asked him, regarding what are they disagreeing? Why does Reb Shimon hold that the father is primarily claiming only the Knas, and therefore for that denial, it's like a Knas, we're not Chayv a Karban Shavu, and the Rabban hold that, no, he's claiming the Beishas Begam. So my puppy says as follows, Reb Shimon Saba, he holds, Leishavik Inish Midi the kids. A person would not leave a claim of something that's clear-cut, because the Knas is clear-cut. Every man has to pay that same amount when he rapes or seduces a woman. And he's not going to leave that, Retava Midi like kids, and then go try to claim something that doesn't have a set amount. Where, okay, how much was she worth, and how much is the embarrassment? It's not so clear-cut. He's going to go for what's definite. Versus Zicha Zicha, like they say. So he's going to go for the definite. In contrast, and therefore that's why he said the claim is on the Knas. And therefore, as we said, everyone agrees really when the claim is Knas, then if you deny upon the oath, you're Patr for Kabban Shavuah. Whereas Rabban Sarvi, they hold that no, Loi Shavig Midi, the father of the girl, the plaintiff, is not going to leave something, that if the defendant admits, he's not exempt. Meaning, when you claim the Baisha is a Begam, if he admits, like when you steal something, you admit, you have to give what you admit to. It's a monetary obligation. They're not going to leave that claim. They're going to go primarily after the Baishas Begam and not leave that V'tava Midi Dechi Moide Be'mifta to go claim something when the guy admits he's exempt. So he's not going to bring him to court, because he bring him to court, the guy says, hey, let me just admit. Why would he go claim primarily the Knas? The guy says, you claiming me? I'm just going to admit. And if I admit, I'm Pater. Maybe the guy doesn't want to, and that's why you could have the case of swearing falsely, but that's why the Rabban say that he's not claiming that Knas, he's claiming the Baishas of Begam, which is Mamanis, and that's why when he denies it, he's denying a Mamanis obligation, therefore being Chayv of Karban Shavuot. Hanulach Shavuot HaBekodin, which shall return to the fifth Perek Masechta Shavuot, Perek Shavuot HaBekodin, which spoke about primarily the oath of a deposit, which that brings us to the sixth Perek in this Masechta, which is to the next category of Shavuot HaDayonin, an oath of the judges. Up until now, we're speaking about the oath that a person takes himself, whether by a claim of someone, but it's regarding a deposit, or Shavuot Bitul, or Shavuot Shav, or Shavuot Sheker. Now we move on to the oath of the judges, which is the judges demand and require from the halacha an oath from this litigant, which in the case that we're describing in our Mishnah, which is a few different cases, but the Mishnah here primarily discusses that one of what's called Maidim Miktsis, when the defendant admits to partial of the claim of the plaintiff, which is learned out from a pasuk in Shmei Yisrael Beis from Asher Yirmeh Kihu Zeh. When he says Zeh, oh, it's this that I owe, but not this, which is admitting to part, on that the pasuk says, V'nikrav Baal HaBayis Elulikim, that then the homeowner has to come to the court and to say, Im Leisholach Yodi, he has to then swear that he didn't do anything inappropriate, which that's an oath, which is this halacha of Meidim Mimiktsis. So on that, our Mishnah qualifies that oath of the Shavuos HaDayanin, which the judges make, of Maid Memiktis, as follows. Hataina, the claim of the plaintiff, which is what causes the oath to come, cannot be for a claim that's less than shtei kesef. It can't be less than two ma'os of kesef, of money, of silver. Moreover, the haida, the admission, which then is what actually obligates the defendant to swear, cannot be less than b'shava pruta, than an admission of at least a pruta's worth. Now, the Gemara will bring a machlekes Rav and Shmuel regarding this pruta, if it could be from within the claim of the two kesef, or no. When we said that the taina has to be shtei kesef, the claim of what the defendant is denying has to be two mois of kesef, besides for the pruta that he is admitting to. So again, it's not clear if that's machlekes in the Gemara in the next daf, if the taina, what he's denying, has to be shtei kesef, and in addition, what he's admitting is another pruta, or no, the admission could be from within, meaning the taina is two kesef, and he's admitting to everything but a pruta of that. But be that as it may, there has to be a taina of shtei kesef and a hida of shava pruta. Now, those are two halachas. Then the Mishnah says the third halacha, which later on the Mishnah will bring an opinion that disagrees with this third halacha. Then ein haida min hataina pater. If what he's admitting to is not from what the person's claiming, then he's exempt pater, says the Mishnah Ketzad. How so? As follows. Let's say the claimant says, the plaintiff says, shtei kesef li b'yadcha, which as Rashi explains, as we alluded to before, shtei kesef doesn't mean two silvers, rather means two ma'ois of kesef. Which is, and the reason how we know that is because it uses shtei in the feminine, which refers to coins, but as we can explain later, not coins in the claim of the coin itself, but rather as the weight of the coin itself, which a two mois of kesef is a third of a dinner. So let's say he says, which that's what we said the tain has to be shtei kesef. So let's say he says there's two mois of kesef that you have of mine. And he says, "Ein locha b'yadi ela pruta." He says, "I only have a pruta's worth." So then, pati is going to be exempt. Why? Because what he's admitting is not the same as the claim. Why? Because when this person was claiming two mois of kesef was two mois of silver, a pruta is always that of copper. So therefore, he's claiming silver. He's admitting copper. Those are two different things. Now, this is what Rashi qualifies. That what we're talking about when he was claiming the two mois of silver of that coin, he wasn't referring to the coin itself, but rather of its weight. Because actually, if he claims the coin, then as the Mishnah is going to tell us later on, when he admits the lowest coin, let's call it a penny, even though it's of copper, it would be considered mimin hatayna because the claim was for a coin, and this is admitting a coin, albeit one silver, one is copper. But it's still admitting to partial of the claim, which is a coin. Here we're talking about the weight of that, of this coin, which this is silver and this is copper. Those are two totally different things, albeit that they're in the shape of a coin, and therefore he's going to be exempt. Continues the Mishnah, but let's say he says, shtei kesef upruta libyatcha. He claims two things. Says, look, there's two silver mois, two silver coins, and a pruta that you have of mine. And the guy admits, in locha b'yad el pruta, no, the only thing I have of yours is a pruta. Then he's going to be chayiv, because the Tana holds what's called Tana chidin b'sa'arin. If he makes a claim of wheat and barley, and he admits of one of those two things, then he's going to be chayiv, because it's admitting to partial of the claim. Continues the Mishnah, let's say he says, mana li b'yadcha. He says, look, there's a mana of mine by you. And he denies the whole thing. He says, in locha b'yad, I don't have any of it. Oh, then he's pater, because then you don't have one of the three halachas we mentioned of having a hoida. You have to have a partial admission. Here he's denying the whole thing. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say he says, money li biyatcha. There's $100 of mine with you. And he says, in locha biyada elecha mishan din. He says, no, not 100 dinar, just 50 dinar that I have of yours. Well, then that's chayiv. That's the case. That might be mixed with chayiv. But let's say he says, money la abba biyadacha. Let's say there's 100 dinar that my father had given to you. And he says to him, no, I only have from you 50 dinar. Then actually potter. Why? Isn't this a classic Moed B'miktus? This is like the halacha of what's known as returning a lost object. Meaning, because this person could have totally had the audacity to deny the whole claim. I mean, the whole halacha, as the Gemara elsewhere explains, is because, as the Gemara says, in Gittin and other places, because a person the reason why he admits the partial of the claim is because he doesn't have the audacity to deny the whole claim from his claimant. So the Torah says, look, he's admitting to partial, obviously, because he really owes the whole thing. He's just trying to push off to have more time to pay back at a later point in time, then be mechayev meshvua. But in this case, he's not embarrassed because this guy didn't lend the money his father did. Now, from the fact that he doesn't is not audacious and deny the whole thing, so he's what's called a meshev aveda, which is, as the Gemara says in Gittin, when someone finds a lost object, he doesn't have to take an oath because of tikkun ha'olam, because I didn't have to come in the first place. You tell me what I'm returning to you is not the full thing, I'm not going to come ever. So this case is essentially the same thing, where this guy didn't have to admit to any of it because he could have had the audacity, he's not embarrassed to deny it to the son. And therefore has the same halacha like a meshev aveda, and therefore he's not going to be chayav b'shvua. Continues the Mishnah with other related type of halachas. Let's say, says, Manali biyatcha, there's 100 dinar that I have by you. And amalihan, the guy admits. Lamacha amalitaneuli, the next day the guy says, okay, give it to me. And he says, well, nasadam lach, I already gave it to you. So pati is exempt, could be admitted, but then he paid it to him. Let's say, says, but the next day when the guy says, okay, give me what you admitted to me yesterday, he says, I don't have anything that you tell me. So then chayav then is going to be liable because he already admitted yesterday, and it's like kadosh baldin kamei edim dam. It's like 100 witnesses says you already admitted that you do owe him. You can't say that you don't owe him. You could say you paid him because yeah, you owe, but you pay. But if you're saying you never owed him, that he's going to be chayav. Ketidus the Mishnah. Let's say says money libiyatcha. Says look, there's 100 dinar that I have with you, and I'm like, he says yes. And moreover, the plaintiff says, look, al tetneuli el be'edim. You admit you owe me, right? Make sure you only pay it back to me in front of witnesses. Lamacha amalei tenayli. So the next day comes and he says, okay, give it back to me. He says, nesatav loch. He says, I already gave it to you. So although he said previously, when he says that, usually he's believed because you don't have to pay back in front of witnesses usually, and he's going to be potter. Here he's going to be chayiv because nesha tzarach lit lameidim, because that was the stipulation they made yesterday. He's only going to pay back in front of witnesses, and since he has to give back in front of witnesses, he's not believed to say that he already gave it back to him. Continues the Mishnah with the topic of our Mishnah. Let's say the plaintiff says, litra zav yesh lebiyatcha. Litra is a type of weight. Says, this weight of gold that I have by you. And he says, no, ein lecha biyadi ela litra kesev. Yes, you have that weight by me, but not in gold, but rather of silver. So pati then is exempt, because that's not maide min hatayni, which was the third halacha we said. It has to be, he's claiming gold, and he's admitting silver. But let's say, he says, dinar zav yesh lebiyatcha. He's talking about coins over here, which we alluded to this halacha earlier. A golden dinner you have by me, and he admits, Ein lecha biyadi ela dinar kesev. He says, no, I don't have a golden dinner, I have a silver dinner of yours. Or vetris is a different type of a coin, or pundi is a different type of coin, or pruta or a lowest type of a coin. Chayev, then he's going to be liable. Why? Isn't, let's say, a pruta copper, and this guy was claiming him a golden dinner? So didn't we say try and claim shtemois kesev, and he's admitting pruta, then yapater? Yeah, that's why we said before that was referring to the weight. Here, where he's talking about the coins, here, it's going to be considered meidim min hatayin shakol min mapeachas, because it's all considered one currency, and therefore admitting a lower coin, even though it's one silver, one copper, is considered admitting to partial of the claim. Continues the Mishnah related also on this theme. Let's say it says, kur tvu libiyatcha. The plaintiff says, a kur of grain you have of mine. And the defendant says, ein lecha biyadi ela lesach kitnis. Not true. I don't have this measurement of grain. I actually have a lower measurement, a half a kor, and not of grain, but rather of kidneys of legumes. That says the Mishnah Pati. He's exempt because that's not mimin hataina. He's claiming grain, he's admitting legumes, which like beans and those type of things. But let's say, says the Mishnah, he says kor peris libiyatra. He says the general term of a kor of produce, which refers to all types of vegetation. And he says, ein lecha biyadi ela lesach kidneys. He admits, I know, it's not a kor, it's actually a half a kor lesach. And it's specifically of kitnis, then it's going to be chayiv, shekitnis b'chalal peres, because legumes are included in the general term of produce, so he's admitting to partial acclaim, not a kor, but rather of a lesach. Continues the Mishnah, which we had alluded to before, that our third halacha of our Mishnah is actually contingent on machleks tanoim. Tanochitin, let's say he claims wheat. And the guy admits a different thing, not what the person's claiming, he admits barley. So says our Tanakama, like we already mentioned before, pate is exempt, because not mimin atayna. But Rambam Gamliel disagrees on this whole third halacha, and he says that there you're going to be liable because even you don't have to have to admit from what the claim was made, as long as he's claiming one thing and he's admitting to a partial. So then he's mechayev a shvuah of meidim mikzus. Continues the Mishnah, another related case. Hatoyin lechaver b'kadishem, and if someone claims from his friend jugs of oil, now v'hoidle b'kankanim, he denies the oil but he admits to the jugs. So Admanim, he says, since he's admitting to part of the claim, because when the guy claims a jug of oils, there's oil in jugs, and he's admitting at least to the jug part. So Yeshavas, he has to swear the oath of Maidim Miktus. The Chachamim, they disagree. They say, no, ein ha'idom eminatayna. The admission is not like a partial of the claim. Because the claim was on the oil, admitting to the jugs is not what the claim was on, and therefore that's not considered Mimina Tain to be Chaiba Shu Maidiv Mitzvahs. Which Amram Lili says, Roy and these Dibri Admin says, to me it appears the opinion of Admin where, no, the guy's coming jugs of oil. Jugs is part of the claim and is admitting to part of the claim, and therefore he's Chaiba Shu Maidiv Mitzvahs. Continues the Mishnah. Tanu Kelim V'Karkois. If the plaintiff was claiming from the defendant both vessels and land, V'Hoid B'Kelim V'Kafa B'Karkois, and he, either one of these cases, he admits to the kelim that he owes him, but he denies the land. Or, B'Karkois V'Kaf B'Kelim, he admits that he owes him the land, but he denies the kelim. Pati is going to be exempt because the halacha, there is no emash bein B'Karkois, we don't make oaths on land. And therefore, whether if the admission is on land or the denial is on land, that's not going to implicate him in the liability of an oath. So to hoide b'miktzas hakarkois, if the partial admission is on the land, pater is going to be exempt because you're not chayav b'shuah might b'miktzas, or any shuah for that matter, on karka. But says the Mishnah, let's say b'miktzas hakelim, let's say he admits to, when the guy's claiming land and vessels, the defendant admits to part of the kelim, that he's claiming, let's say, $100 worth of kelim, admits to $50 worth of kelim, then he's chayav to make an oath of might b'miktzas on everything else of the claim, including the karka. Why? Because the properties that do not have liability, which refers to metaltlin things like the kalim, since there's a liability of, you admitted to part of that claim of the kalim, so therefore you have to make a shul made mixes on the kalim, so it drags together and then obligates them also already then to make an oath on the karka too, which are considered the chasim that have liability, which always can be collected, always have insurance for. Once you have to make a taina, you have to make a shvu on the kalim, you already have to make the shvu on the karka too. Concludes the Mishnah, one does not make an oath, as we're talking about for the shvus adayanin, on the claim of a deaf mute or a mentally deranged individual or a minor. And neither do we make a minor take this oath. However, the Mishnah concludes, but we do swear to a minor and to hektish in situations when we require, because of the situation that applies specifically to a minor and to hektish. Now, the Gemara says, so we spoke about the Shavuos HaDayanin, the Shavuos Moed B'Miktzas. How do we, the judges, make this defendant swear? So I'm reading Rabbi. He says, make him swear the oath that's written in the Torah. So like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, Avram told Eliezer when he wanted to who should take for a wife for his son Yitzchak. Says Vashbi Acham, making you swear an oath, Bashem Elokei Shemayim, in Hashem, the God of the heavens. So on that, asked the Gemara, Amle Ravin Ravashi, says, come on, who's Rav going like? Seemingly Krib Chanina Bar Idi. The Amma that he says, as we brought this previously in Perek Shavuos at the end of Shavuos Ha'edis and Daf Lamahemet Beis, the Amma that he says, Be'in Hashem HaMeyuchad. Seemingly what Rav is trying to bring from the Pasuk is that he has to swear by Hashem, the Shem Havai, Yudke Vodke. That's how we make the person make the oath of the Shavuos HaDayan. On that Amma Leis, Rav Ashi said to him, no, Afil Tim Rabbanan. You could say Rav's Halacha is even like the Rabbanan, the Amri Bikinu, that they say that the oath is even going to be, even if you use one of the other appellations of Hashem, Elikim, or Erech HaPayim. Now, but then Menafkimin is, then what's the difference of Rav's teaching by when he's trying to bring, what does it mean, Shvu Amur Batayra? We thought it meant by using Shem HaMayuchad, Shem HaVaya. If you're saying, could even be with the Kinuim and all the other names, so what's Rav bringing when he says Shvu Amur Batayra? It means, like it says over there in that incident with Avraham and Eliezer, that Tzarch Latfusi Chevtze B'Yadi, that he has to hold an object of a Dvar Mitzvah in his hand, which either a Sefer Torah or a Tefillin, like Avram who had Eliezer hold on to his Bris Milah. Like Rava says, because the Amar Rava, he says, Haidayana, the Ashba B'Hashem Elokei Shemayim, a judge that only does like the Pasuk says literally over there by Avram, that has the defendant swear by Hashem, the God of the heavens, and he doesn't have him hold on to an object of a Dvar Mitzvah, Nasi Kamisha Tabet Dvar Mishnah, it's like as if he made an error in an explicit Mishnah, because although even though this halacha is not written in the Mishnah, it's rather the teaching of Rav that we just quoted, but it's like something that was taught in the Mishnah. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Lama Gimel Menalv that someone that makes an error in the word, the famous words of Menamayra, it's considered like you made an error in the Dvar Mishnah, and V'chaser, that would make that the whole thing, the whole case is undone, meaning we don't say what was judge is judge, and then the judge has to compensate from his own pocket. We consider it like a Torah Dvar Mishnah, the whole thing is like it wasn't a judge in the first place. Amar Papa, he takes it one step further. He says, "Haydiyana de Ashba b'Tfilin." A judge, even if he has the defendant holding on to an object of a dvar mitzvah like tefillin, but if it's not worth a sefer Torah, nasa kemisha tabe dvar mishnah. Because that's also as if he made an error in the dvar mishnah, and you have to undo it because you have to hold on to something like a sefer Torah. And that says the Gemara, Halacha follows like Rava, but v'les hilchasak haseid rabba. Halacha does not follow like rabba, as the Gemara explains. Hilchasak haseid rabba that you have to be holding on to at least a chifetz of a dvar mitzvah, because if not, the whole noket chefs to be other. You're not fulfilling what like Avram did with Eliezer, that you're not holding on to an object of a dvar mitzvah. But v'les hilchasak haseid rabba, because the noket chefs to be other. It's not like rabba who says a tefillin is not good enough, because if you're holding a tefillin, you are holding on the object of a dvar mitzvah. It doesn't have to be specifically a sefer Torah. Now, the Gemara concludes and says, Shvua, the oath, has to be taken mu'umet, standing up. A Talmid Chacham, however, could swear miyushav, sitting down. So to a Shvua, the oath has to be taken b'sefer Torah. Meaning, although we just said that Allah is not like Rav Papa, but the Gemara is still saying, l'ketchila, initially, it should be with the sefer Torah. And one thing Rashi points out, that is in his generation, the earlier generations had already nullified the option of taking a biblical oath because the punishment is so great, so they instituted that there should be an arr, a curse, with 10 people, because as the Gemara said previously, that arr by shvua, the term arr, includes the halachas of like an oath, and therefore they abolished the taking of, as we'll see in the next stop, the severity of taking a biblical oath. Talmud Chacham, although we said that a shvua initially should be with a sefer Torah, but a Talmudic scholar, for him it's enough, l'ketchila b'tefillin, that because of his honor, we don't make him take a sefer Torah, it's enough for him to take the oath on a pair of tefillin.